Blog Talk Radio.
Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the R-O-C. Ho, fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music biz number one supplier. Flyer than a piece of paper bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. That's right, ho, ho. Not D-O-C, but similar to the letters. No one could do it better. I check cheddar like a food inspector. My homie Strick told me, dude, finish your breakfast. So that's what I'ma do. Take you back to the zoo with the Lexus. Fast forward the jewels and the necklace. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect us. Shoot at you actors like movie directors. This ain't a movie, dog.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come
here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Bing ain't lie. I done came through the block and everything that's fly. I'm like Che Guevara with bling on. I'm complex. I never claim to have wings on. Nigga, I get my by any means on. Whenever there's a drought, get your umbrellas out because that's when I brainstorm. You can blame Sean, but I ain't invented the game. I just rolled the dice trying to get some change. And I do it twice, ain't no sense to me. Lying as if I am a different man. And I can blame my environment, but ain't no reason why I be buying expensive chains. Hope you don't think users are the only abusers, niggas getting high within the game. If you do, then how would you explain? I'm 10 years removed, still a vibe is in my veins. I got a hustler spirit, nigga, period. Check out my hat, yo, peep the way I wear it. Check out my swag, yo, I walk like a ball player. No matter where you go, you are what you are, player. And you can try to change, but that's just the top layer. Man, you was who you was before you got here. Only God can judge me, so I'm gone. Either love me or leave me alone.
Good evening, everybody. It's Friday night. The Man Up Show is on the air. The Man Up Show is on the air. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is Friday, November 21st, 2015. The Man Up Show is on the air. Ain't nothing like kicking off the show with a little bit of size and a little bit of home just to get your Friday night started.
Yes.
Now, come at you. Oh, my God. Time to get this day in. Naz, are you online?
I'm here, man. It's a busy night tonight, man. I'm taking care of business. You know how we do, bro. I'm just trying to get on, so I'm trying to get us logged in. So I know you're on the boards right now, but I'm logging in as we speak.
All right, so, you know, you do your thing on your end, doing a little technical things going on here. My brother from another mother, Eddie, you online.
Yo, what's good, fellas?
Hey, nothing too much, fellas.
What the hell? Eddie, how's your week going so far, baby?
I'm in bed. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
How's your week going so far? It's been cool?
Oh, my gosh, yo. This has been a great week, man. This has been a wonderful week, actually.
Come on, do share with the people. Do share with the people.
Man, it's kind of like it's a lot of information. Needless to say, behind the scenes, businesses and transactions and stuff are going perfect. Me and my team, there were two companies that we were having a hard time figuring out who was going to build my app and my social network. And this was so hard to figure out who we were going to hire. It's two different companies out of India. We decided to hire them both and make them compete for who were we going to bring to the market. So that was a pretty cool thought process behind my team and I. We figured if we're going to have the best thing out there, if we have two teams competing for the best thing and we pulling from each other's ideas, we'll have the best thing out there when it hits the market. So that was great. Then my cousin, he got a call from the Smithsonian about the information. Remember I was telling you all behind the scenes, the investment or what have you. So the Smithsonian got in contact with him. They're doing a digital at their museum. They're doing an African American history museum. They're doing some kind of a virtual digital world or something like that. And they contacted him because they wanted him to be on the board with Google and Corning, which is who we're going to next for this official takeover. So it's like he was moved right next to where we were supposed to be headed next as far as business is concerned. Then we figured out the name and everything of the actual business, and now it's time for me to go into the lab and put the content for my my social network in the game, and then from there it's time for me to put my 2-year salary in the business plan, and then start collecting funds to so I can walk on off my job here and be covered to do my focus on building this empire that I'm working on. So it's been an absolutely wonderful week this week.
Matter of fact, Eddie, before the end of the show, make sure, you know, if, like I said, if you're a cousin and you're still taking, you know, for shares, you know,
give them
that address, to, you know, make sure, you know, the people know, because understand, you know, the clock is ticking. And it, like I said,
close
to midnight.
And it's looking like 2 weeks, man, that's probably going to be shut down because we're doing the PPM will be done by the end of this week, so we'll be launching it by next week to where friends and family is probably going to be closed down really, really soon, probably no later than 2 weeks.
All right, I'm going to tell y'all, before y'all even think about Black Friday, you know, you think Black Friday, you think about this, because it's about to be a black takeover. So I'm telling you right now.
You ain't never lied.
Go ahead.
Get out. Yeah, it's
go
crazy.
Ahead. You know, go ahead, you know, put your beans together. I'm telling you right now, look, I mean, it's a Honda. It's a Honda. Now, I'm just explaining to y'all, it's a Honda. And, you know, so look, do it like this. All right, let's say, you know, you think, you know, like, you know, we just trying to put a scam on you, right? You know, we just trying to do this shit just to get some money from you, right? What? Find 3 other friends and go with you with $20 for $25.
You ain't never lying.
There's 4 of y'all. That's $100. All right?
That's the minimum.
Look here. You spend $25 going to the movies. You spend $25 going bowling. So, look,
point,
if this
sir.
Shit happens to turn over, now you're going to be kicking yourself in the ass if it turns over, like, you know, $100 million, and then, you know, your share of it worth, like, maybe $100,000, but really it's just worth $25,000 because your dumb ass put in $25. You're going to feel kind of stupid about your life. But
well, actually, they had an appraiser. Three weeks ago, the appraiser came to him and he said, "Are you aware that this is actually in the over the top market?" And he was like, "I never heard of what is the over the top market." He said, "Well, people like Apple, Google, and Netflix, they've been trying to figure out how they can disperse audio and video content without having to use cable companies or DirecTV or satellite." He said,
right.
and they've been trying to figure out how they can do it, and they've been willing to pay a pretty penny for it. And you're the only entity that provides that that capability. So we have nobody to even compare your company with to even
right.
appraise you. And at the minimum, you are a $50 billion industry.
Wow. All right, look, I'm telling y'all, look, right now. Y'all got 2 weeks. That's all I'm saying. Don't say.
That's all I'm saying. It's been crazy.
I'm not telling you. I'm not getting anything out of this if you do this. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you.
I don't either. I don't either.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, all right. Eddie ain't getting nothing, and I ain't getting nothing. So, all right, I'm telling you, this is an investment. This is just like, okay, this. Look at it like a tip in Vegas on a sports game. I'm giving you a tip to put down some money to win some money. That's all I'm giving you. I'm giving you a tip.
And this ain't even the same thing, because check it. As far as the promissory note is concerned, the worst thing that can happen is you get 7% back on your money. That's the worst thing that could happen. I have, as of right now, and the last time I checked, $4,700 worth of shares at a dollar share.
Unbelievable. So, look, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm telling you. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. Put down a Honda. Honda,
right?
At least we can do 5. You know, 1,000. Okay, 1,000 grand. But, you know, I know times is hard. Motherfuckers got, you know, bills to pay. You know, got to keep mama happy at home. And, you know, Christmas is coming. So I understand all these things. Wakanda. That's all I'm saying to y'all. Wakanda.
They got, and they got people, the big wigs, that are trying to keep y'all or us from even being able to invest in it. They're trying to buy all the shares and prevent us from getting it because they know that they're going to get the funds. That's why he caps them. He caps them at $100,000. And they buy it at $100,000. It's crazy.
I understand the level of trying to keep a motherfucker poor. That's all I've got to say about this shit.
I'm good.
Tom, did you know that I'm sharp as a Metro than me?
Wait, what?
That Al Sharpton's at Metropolitan Baptist Church. That's on Springfield Avenue in North New Jersey for those who are in the area.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, who needs to mute their phone right now?
Right now, is Sharpton is, of course,
dude, I was thinking the same thing.
And I'm Rob Baraka, the mayor of Newark.
Yeah, with his new garbage truck.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to kumbaya the community and this, that, and everything, which I've been invited to go to, and which I'll be leaving henceforth within the next 15 minutes. So my portion of the program is going to be very abbreviated. Meanwhile, that portion of the program is going to be somewhat abbreviated. So we're coming with an abbreviated version of the Man Up Talk Show. Naz, would you like to tell everybody what we're talking about tonight?
Well, tonight's topic, tonight we're talking about being grateful. And I think what the better way to talk about it is we have people like, of course, Brother Eddie, that's going to, you know, give us another thought provision of why we should be grateful, which I'm hoping that he can help elaborate for me.
With the elaborations, but before Eddie elaborates, let me expand.
Elaborate on how.
Well, you know, with people, sometimes we need another perspective. They need a kick in the pants. I think that you're very well at doing that.
Huh. You know what? It's interesting you say that, man. Because a lot of people have a lot of stuff that they don't realize because they're so busy focusing on what they don't have or what they want.
That's right.
Which is oftentimes why they can't get the other stuff, because they have yet to show that they're grateful for the current stuff that they got.
But they have, right.
Not to mention they don't know how to appreciate, and I mean that literally, what they have, which in turn can add value to what they have and actually sell it. Good example, man.
Yeah, I'm too small.
Good example of what I'm talking about.
Oh,
there was times when times got a little rough. I might go to a garage sale and buy the people's garage sale stuff. And oftentimes I will buy the stuff at a garage sale prices. Get it at a low price, but then I'll put the stuff on eBay and get way more than what I got for it from purchasing it from them. And that's what I mean by some people don't realize what they got. And I guess when they say another man's trash is another man's treasure, that's more than just a female. And it all depends on how you look at what you have. And oftentimes people don't value what they have, and because they don't value what they have, other people don't value either, which is why I gave them maybe $2 or $3 for it. my frat brother, he just got a Xerox machine for $25, and it worked. And he sold it on eBay for I think he sold it for $600, and because it didn't have ink or whatever with it, but like he spent $25.
Where you get that from?
It was a, I think it was actually a church garage sale.
Wow.
And it's just like, and I say all that to say, like, a lot of people don't realize what they have. And oftentimes it just takes for you to look around and just thanking God for what you have right now. And oftentimes that'll keep you from asking him for anything in the first place.
But why is it that sometimes we have to be reminded? I mean, why can't we have that thought? I mean, I'm just talking about people in general. Why do we always have to get the reminder? Like now, we're doing a reminder. Some people don't have that being grateful thought in their mind every day.
Unfortunately, the reason why is because we got too much stuff. And I know how crazy that sounds, but when you have, it's hard to, it's just like, oftentimes people don't think about God or pray to God until they lose stuff.
So true.
Yeah, when you got stuff, you don't think about, you're not as grateful. And I hated my experience when I went to Haiti, but it was the best experience that I had in my life because that instilled some serious humility in me. To have to go to the bathroom in the outhouse, to have to go and walk miles to get water just to take a bath and brush your teeth and wash your face in the morning, not having any plumbing or hot water or whatever. So I know what it is to have nothing or having to go and catch a chicken or something to kill in order to eat as opposed to just going to the grocery store and it's already done for you. So those things, man, I'll never forget, and it caused me to just be so appreciative of so many things. But when you start with a lot of things, I mean, think about it, man. You go to those third world countries. I mean, we literally, and I'm not joking when I say this, when we had meat, when I lived in Haiti as a child, we ate the bones. We ate everything, literally every single thing. We chewed it down to the bone.
How do you do that?
And I'm dead serious. And we was just that hungry. And we... Here, we got people that throw away leftovers. They got leftovers and throw away leftovers. There was no leftovers. And that's because we have so much stuff to where we don't appreciate stuff. So we start devaluing what is actually valuable. And that's not even necessarily with tangible stuff. All the time, that's time with family, which is why we start losing our mind when somebody dies. And start reflecting on how much time we've spent with our mom or dad or what have you. So that's when it comes to everything, man.
Well, I mean, that's I mean, I think that's very profound in an aspect. You look at, you use the death aspect of it as far as we wait to, when people pass away, to be more appreciative of them, of their life when it was here. And I think that people need to understand and look at everything, be grateful for what they have in every day. I mean, don't just wait till you don't have it to appreciate it. I mean, but
yeah,
it's human nature. Man. We're humans that we make these mistakes constantly. Tom, what is your thoughts on it?
You know, it's all, for me, I guess I remember when I was younger, my grandparents always talking about being glad that they got up that morning. And you know, you always could have just took it as a little joke that old people would say, but, you know, they're start getting along. So, you know, there's just some morning where you just, you know, you're glad you got up, whether it was because you were glad you got up from a hangover, or you're glad you got up just because, of, you know, you did some dumbass shit the night before, you just glad you got up. So, you know, I think that's the first place you need to start. And, you know, almost like what they were saying, you got to value what you have, but, you know, what you have is your good health, your friends, your family, and the ability to get up in the morning. And that to me is where you start with your things. Yeah.
Well, good point. I mean, is this something that we can possibly, maybe those who are listening that can learn? I mean, somebody can take this, they can stop this wait to the last minute type of being thankful with the last moment.
Hey, man, you know what? There's an old man that told me something years ago, and today, it still gives me chills to think about it. He said, at the end of your day, you should take your shoes off and kick them as far under the bed as you can, so that when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you have to do is get on your knees. Because you have to get on your knees to get under the bed to get those shoes that you kicked off. But that will remind you to pray and thank God for waking up that morning. He says, so when you end your day, kick your shoes as far as under the bed as you can so that you have to get up and start your day by getting on your knees. Just as a reminder.
But you know what, some people don't look at it like that. You know, they go, why should I, you know? And I think something's got to happen. I mean, personally, I think that something has to happen to the individual for order them to get into that mind state, being appreciative. You know, I think, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's what has to happen. We have to go through something. I mean, I don't know, unless you guys disagree.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, you know, what do you
say? Sometimes when you go through things, you understand better what you have, you know, when you've lost someone or something close or something you valued, you're able to better appreciate what you have in front of you. So, you know, because, you know, it's always hard to learn from your lessons, but it's definitely you can learn from loss and pain and having gone through something.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of learning from other people. That's why I'm so analytical, man. I pay attention to everything, and like I prefer to learn from your mistakes than to make them. So I'm watching, taking notes, and listening as much as I can, man, to try to take shortcuts instead of having to relearn stuff all over again, man.
Well, let me ask you, how did you get in that mind state? Because everybody has that mind state. How did you get into that mind state?
Oh, because I would mess up stuff, my daggone stuff, and I got tired of doing it. So what I would do is I always sought people that had what I wanted, and I just asked a whole bunch of questions. Man, I have a lot of humility. Like a good example of that, I was talking to my partner yesterday, and like I said, we agreed that we were going to hire both teams. So I was like, I have a dilemma, though. I said, I don't know if I want to start working on the content for my the social network / simulated game, or do I want to work on the business proposal to raise capital in hopes that I can raise the capital without really building it yet. And he said, so I was calling him just for advice on what I should do. And he said, to be honest with you, he said, that's a hard answer for me to answer because I don't want to answer it selfishly. And it took me back. I'm like, what you mean answer it selfishly? I said, how can you answer that question selfishly? He said, if anything, I'm concerned that if I do say yes and let's go and start now, I have to get this content done, so that's going to put a lot of work on me, so that's me being selfish. I said, and then it dawned on me, the light bulb went on, I said, oh, he's already an investor. He's a guaranteed investor. He's willing to pay $37,000 towards my project. So his thought process is, if he says yes to me, I'm going to need the $37,000 right now. So that puts pressure on him having to pay. So he rather tell me to delay it so he don't have to pay $37,000 up front. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he meant by being selfish. I said, well, first of all, don't worry. The $37,000, I'm not worried about that. I said, granted, I'm going to accept your $37,000 investment. I said, but as a businessman, it's not your $37,000 that I feel comfortable investing in the project. I said, because you're investing in me personally, but you're not the market. I said, before I build this thing and come out of or even use other people's money to build it, I said, I need to know that the market wants it. Because if I build this and the market doesn't want it, I wasted everybody's money. So I need to figure out a way to test it without building it to see if the market actually wants it.
Right.
And that's what he said. He said, you know what I like about you, Eddie? He said, most people would would build it or invent something and then bring it to me to bring to the market and expect me to make it work. He said, but you have enough, he said, not just humility. You're willing to throw yourself out there, see if people will reject you, to put yourself in a predicament to go back to the drawing board, start over, to fix it, to give the people what they need as opposed to what you think they need. And he said, that's how I know you are going to be very, very successful. He said, not to mention, you're not going to use your own money. So anybody else would be like, I want to build it. It ain't my money anyway.
Right,
he said,
right,
but
right.
You, even with somebody else's money, you're like, no, I want to make sure that people want it before I use your money to build it. And he said that, that's just, you don't find too many people like that.
So that's
what I mean by just the humility behind stuff and doing stuff with other people in mind and consideration and or what have you. And just like you gotta think about what the heck you're doing. Like I said, granted, it's a great idea to me, but I'm not the one that's going to be playing it or going to it. So if you don't want it and I made it for you, it's dumb for me to invest my time and money into it.
So, I mean, now I'm glad you talked about the game that you're having developed. Will this game also help some people become a little bit more appreciative to their situations? I know what you talked about it over the year, you know, about the whole thing, but I know with you, it's always some lesson involved with everything that you do.
Everything. Well, it's a simulated, man, it's so crazy. The whole concept, I can talk about it because my content can't be duplicated. And the other time I have to actually have somebody to, no, I'm serious, because for the last few months people had to literally write a contract that if they shared how this game and everything works, they would have to pay, I could sue them for a certain amount of money. But the concept, it's a simulated game, but it's revolving around the community, which ultimately, once you get to a specific tier, which you would have to pass a mental test that proves that you're worthy of that tier, you can actually have FaceTime chatting where you can date someone in the safety of your home before having a blind date, because that's dangerous as hell. You'll either crack a code that allows you to go into a secret dating area, but you have to have a specific relational IQ to even be able to date people or communicate them with on that level. So eventually it's going to be a movement, so much so that if you go to a female and you try to holler at her, she's going to ask you, are you a part of this network? If you're not, you have to go to add yourself to the network, but you have to take a IQ test, a relational IQ test, and you'll either be in a low tier, a middle tier, or the high tier, which allows you to date. And that's her way of saying, you let me know if you are worthy of talking to me mentally. Because if you're in a low tier, you can't speak to people in the middle tier. You can only speak to people on your level. If you're in the middle tier, you can't speak to people on the high tier. You can only speak to people on the middle tier. And check it, on the low tier, you can't even see the face of people in the low tier. And you can only communicate them within the community. So, like, say I bring a topic up, and you can respond to the topic where everybody can see it, but we can't talk one-on-one. But in the second tier, you can see a distorted picture of the people that are in that community, and you can talk one-on-one, but you can't give each other's email address or phone number, so you can't try to nag nobody. In order for you to go to a higher tier, you have to pass the test. The only way that you can pass the test is by playing the simulated game, which goes into some serious detail on dating, relationships, and marriage stuff. And in order for you to take the test, you have to pass or finalize the game 3 times for you to take the test to find out whether you can go to a higher tier. Now, the ultimate tier is the third and high tier, which, again, gives you access to a dating location where you can see the face of people, you can exchange numbers and emails, and you can have FaceTime, like a date, to see if you're really interested in that person. Now, what that does is if you go to these e-harmonies and all that stuff like that, you're dealing with a whole bunch of people that you don't know what you're dealing with. This, it eliminates whether these people are mentally on your level or not, because you can't change your email and your IQ increases. You know how you could build a different profile? Like, to get into the actual community, you have to take an IQ or relationship IQ test or quiz. Okay. And that is going to give you an IQ range, which determines the tier or that you're in, or class that you're in, if you will. And that will determine who you can speak with and communicate with. So it eliminates all the trash, if you will, so that
right.
you can only date and interact with people who are mentally on your level on the third tier, which is where you should be, which basically will prove that you have a higher self-esteem, you're interested in just all the principles that come along with my book and my teaching and coaching, which you'll learn from playing the game. So it's just it's crazy, man. I love it. I'm really excited about it. I've been working on this for a minute. But it's awesome.
What's the projected time?
Honestly, after we start the kickoff in February 1st, it takes seven months for them to build it.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
The thing that I love about it too is free. You don't have to pay for it. Absolutely free.
Hold on. What's the catch? You know what they say.
There's no catch. The catch is your ass gets better as an individual. It's absolutely free. What I'm building is free. It's free for people to communicate and get better at their communication skills, their relational skills, all that. It's absolutely free.
What do you think, Tom?
It's a free app, it's a free social network, all of it is free.
That's exciting stuff, and when you put in a lot of work into something you believe in, you're passionate about it. And I think we can all see the passion that he has right now. So, when we get further along, I'd love to hear more about it. But right now, I started thinking about some of the things I'm thankful for, and I know some of you have heard my story before, but I lost my parents, both parents before I was 12, and I was basically raised by my grandmother. I wake up every day thankful for having my sister in my life, my grandmother still around, being able to wake up every morning and appreciate the things that I've been able to experience and accomplish, and even just Friday, giving up my going out on Friday nights to spend time with you guys. I appreciate just having the chance to talk with other guys who use Eddie's term, who are on my level,
right?
Doing things that I'm passionate about. So that's something else I'm always thankful for.
You know what? The same here. I mean, sometimes, we always say that the status quo is thankful for life and all stuff. What about the people that we come and, you interact with? I mean, honestly, I'm grateful for those people that's been negative, because they taught me. They taught me. I've learned through experiences through being around those knuckleheads. It's helped me become a better individual as well. It's helped me help my children as well. So I don't know whether it sounds crazy or not. I am thankful for those knuckleheads, because it teaches me where not to be at. If I can share those other lessons, like you said, Eddie, teach those lessons to our younger ones. So hopefully they learn that. All you can do is put it out there. And then if they don't learn from somebody else's mistake, I presented it to you. You made a choice.
Yeah. And it's funny, man. I mean, I know. Me sharing the information about my game, I apologize if it seems like it's off topic, but it's actually spot on. Because the reason why I'm giving away for free is because God gave me the information for free. And that's been my dilemma for the last 3 years. My manager used to get on me all the time, Eddie, you're always giving away your book. You have to pay. Sig used to get on me, Eddie, you can't give away your book. Don't let me see you give another book away. You have to pay for the book, so you're losing money by giving it away. And it just didn't feel right for me to charge people for it because I got it for free. And the irony in all this is me giving it for free and not breaking and breaking down and listening to my surrounding people instead of going with what my heart says. Me doing it this way is actually a billion-dollar industry as opposed to me trying to charge for it and potentially being a million-dollar industry. And the difference in that is if I give it to you for free and I have a whole bunch of eyes and stuff that are there that are utilizing the actual source, that will make people want to market where the eyes are at, which is why a Super Bowl commercial is so high. Because that's where most of the eyes are at. So if most of the eyes are there, that's where the advertisers are going to be, which in turn will make them pay high dollars to advertise on your network that you're giving away for free.
That's true. But, you know, let me ask you guys a question. I mean, I know what we are thankful about, but is there something that we can be improved on as far as being thankful for that may be something that we don't always really open our eyes to?
That's a great question.
Think about it.
Honestly,
I mean, you know.
Honestly, this is gonna sound crazy, but I'm thankful that God doesn't answer prayers quickly. There's so many things that I've wanted or I prayed for that had He given to me would have jacked my life up. And the fact that the process in which He provides me with stuff allows me to see what I really need and really want, I'm grateful for that. Because can you think about if you can literally get everything that you wanted or want immediately, how jacked up your life would really be? How about that girl you probably wanted in middle school and you see her now and she looks just terrible? Had you ended up with that girl? Your life probably would have been jacked up, or just all the things that you could have had but you didn't get or you had to work for, which instilled character and drive and motivation to just want more and actually helped you find ways to figure things out as opposed to just going about life all willy-nilly, like good example. There's a lot of things that had I had the money to do, I would have paid for it up front, but after not having the money to do it, I got really creative and ended up not having to pay for it at all or being smart enough to exchange something that I had of value that they wanted and getting it for free for their services. It's just little things like that, man, that you don't think about. Hell, a good example of it's a lot of people that started with a lot of things, and when they lose it, they jump off buildings. Because we started with nothing. When we get something and we lose something, we still are all right because we know what it was not to have. So I just have an interesting way of looking at life, period. So I'm just grateful that, like I said, God doesn't answer prayers immediately. Or if He does, oftentimes, if it doesn't align with what He has planned for me, the answer is just no.
Wow. You know, Eddie, I like the way you put that right there. I'm going to tell you why. I'm glad to the fact that, you know, you said, I'm glad God didn't answer my prayers, by the way. And it made me think a little bit more because you think about it. If we got everything right away, how will we become humble? How will we become more appreciative for what we don't have? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's a wide open spectrum right there because if we got everything, we won't learn to appreciate. And so when we lose it, all you do is you pray it up and oh, I'm gonna get it again. You know, and that's why people get mad at these poor rich brats out here because, you know, oh, I crashed mommy's car. Oh, well, daddy will give me a new one. Damn that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, what's that commercial? I don't know if you guys seen that commercial when there's a commercial on TV when I guess the husband and the wife are sitting in the kitchen. So I guess the daughter calls, Dad, I need money for a college book. I think the book costs maybe, I think either $150, $170. He says, okay. So Then she calls back, hey, Dad, spring break, I think I want to go to Aruba. He says, well, you'll be spending Aruba with that book. I found that funny because there was a level of being, you know, just being appreciative of what you have. You know, mm-hmm. you want to go to Aruba, but you got to be appreciative of the stuff that you have. You know, you can't have both of those things. And like you said, you know, I'm glad our God, you know, says, you know what, I'm gonna answer your prayers. But I'm not gonna answer right away because you need to learn. You need to understand. Yeah. You need to understand. There's a path to this whole thing. So I mean, you know, I think that was a beautiful way to put it. You know, and it didn't make me think about it until you said it. I'm like, wow. If God answers our prayers right away, this world would be a hell of a lot different.
He never lied.
You know, that's good. That's a good one, brother. I gotta give it to you.
That's a good one. I know this sounds funny, but this is dead serious. Let's think about when you was a kid and you was mad at your mom and you prayed that she got hit by a bus or something like that because she told you to lie. how many people's lives would be jacked up by then if you know, our prayers were answered immediately, man. I mean, like
but
I said,
you know
I'm
what,
just grateful.
But you know what, man? You know, when people have parents and they lose their parents in the early years, like my brother Tom here, you know, Tom, I don't know, maybe get me out here, brother. When you see people or people that's disrespectful to their parents, you know, and they're being non-appreciative, I mean, how does that make you feel?
I
want to
shake every damn one of them.
Thank you.
Not even, and it's not even about the law factors. I know my ass would have gotten beat.
Exactly.
If I had so much as given my grandmother a sideways look, she would have had me go out in the backyard, cut my own switch, bring it in the house,
man.
She could beat my ass, send me back outside, and tell me to put it in the rest of the lawn tripping.
No, but that's real talk, man. Listen, man. Your grandmother would have pulled the Adrian Peterson.
Man.
That's all.
Like, I know exactly how long it takes the police to get here if you want to call them.
You know.
Dang. That's funny,
but you know what, man? It's crazy because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, especially being appreciative of our parents. It goes both ways because a lot of times our parents, I'm going to say us two included, you know, those with parents or father figures or mother figures or mentors, whatever, you know, sometimes, you know, we got to be appreciative of what we have. You know what I'm saying? We, you know, look, I got a good kid. Why am I on his ass? Or why am I so hard on him or hard on her? Well, you know what? My kid is trying. You know, their brain's not mature enough to understand certain things. And sometimes I see parents are not appreciative of their kids or what they have. You know, I see that. I'm like, you know, come on, bitch. Excuse my language when I say that. You know, come on now. You got beautiful kids at home. You out in the club. You sitting there looking for a baby. You looking for a husband or looking for the next meal ticket. Your kids are starving. They're not looking right. You're not taking care of them. They're getting the school late. Oh, they got to get up. No, stop that shit. You're not being appreciative of what God gave you because, you know, it's a blessing, you know, to have a child or be in a place that you're influential, whether especially if you're a minister like Brother Eddie is and like what we all do and we influence young lives. We got to be appreciative of those young men that or young ladies that want to be nurtured. They want to be mentored. We got to be appreciative of them because they're trying in their own way. You know, they may give it, they may buck and all other stuff, but they're trying. You know, and let me tell you something. Kids, children, they can see if somebody's full of shit or not. Excuse my language, but
yes,
it is. They'll see right through it in a freaking minute. And I tell some of my young people, I'm like, listen, I appreciate you. And they look at me like, huh? No, I appreciate you. Because you don't have to do this. You don't have to be here despite your parents telling you you got to be here or you got to listen to me or whatever. But you're taking the time to listen. And if you just give me that one door, hopefully I can make a difference. Whether you don't fuck it, but at some point it's going to sink in. At some point. So, I mean, you know, I honestly thought about being more appreciative at times for my kids. You know, because, you know, I love my parents. And, you know, sometimes we have those family, and even family. Sometimes family just lose track of, you know, damn, Like, man, yo, I really appreciate you, bro. But some people, you know, you got some family like, oh, why the fuck? Yeah, why? You know, then you know, I honestly, man, I'm gonna do an Eddie moment right now. I'm gonna be very transparent. Listen, man, we got family members. You know, we agree and disagree with. Let me tell you something. Yes, sir. Just because if you don't get along with an older relative, that's on you. That's your thing. But that doesn't give you the right to disrespect them, especially your mother. Especially your mother. Regardless, if she didn't have the resources to raise you properly or the way you may deem she should have raised you, maybe at a certain time she didn't have the knowledge. You know, having a baby at 14 years old, you know, she's still a girl. She didn't learn. She had to learn on the fly. You know, whether she made a mistake or not, you can't fault her. Because back in the 50s and 40s, you know, and 60s, you know, it wasn't that damn easy for black people. It wasn't easy at all. At all. So, you know, I get mad at my sister. I'm like, yo, why are you cursing moms out? For what? And it takes my aunties to hold me back from doing the Bruce Lee across their chin.
First of all, at 14, you better be grateful that she made a mistake or you wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
That's what throws me off, man. People, they miss out on the opposite end of everything, and it bothers me because I always look at both ends. I can argue any side, any point, and I don't know where I got that from. Oftentimes, if I go somewhere and I hear people that are riding the bandwagon on one point, I intentionally talk about the other end just because I want you to think about it. And I may very well agree with you, but oftentimes people don't think about both sides of the spectrum, man.
They don't.
And
and
you miss out on so much not doing so. And also you miss out on accountability when you do that as well. So, yeah.
That's a good point. Good point, both sides of the coin, especially being a brother.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Especially.
Yeah. I mean, you get people that snap off. You brought up an accident or whatever. You got people that are breaking your neck. You done messed up my car, but okay, damn, I am alive. Are you appreciative of the fact that I didn't die? Like, it's a lot of different things that you know, if you take the time to look at both sides of it, you can find good in pretty much anything. And I noticed that after I realized I spent half of my life finding the bad in everything. Just like I stated in many shows ago, I was just negative. I could find the negativity in everything. Like I said, people would make statements, you know, well, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Well, damn, is a train coming too? So I can find, you know, the bad in anything, but after when I finally decided that, you know, I'm going to try to find the good in everything, I already mastered finding the bad in everything. So that actually helped me to look at everything holistically and make decisions based off of having all the information as opposed to just looking at stuff narrow-minded.
And you know what, man? You know, listen, guys, I can say this and be honest, but, you know, with you, Eddie and Tom, you know, it took me to kind of go to a certain place. I mean, I'm all, like, you know, the way I work, I'm like a robot. I'm moving and grooving, but sometimes I don't look at bright sides. I'm looking at results. You see what I'm saying? I'm not looking
I'm
more result-oriented, you know. I don't look at certain things. And then I had to kind of go through something personally this year, you know, emotionally wise, because my body was like, yo, you're just moving, you're moving. Where's your heart? You know, your heart's there. The feeling's there. You know, you have a direction. The blueprint's all laid out for you. But I had to kind of go through something.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, I say this to myself, you know, a bishop told me something this year when I was going through my dark phase and I came out of it, because he said, you know, PJ broke me down. He says, you're result oriented. He says, you got to be grateful for what you have. You know, stop trying to push and try to find what you don't have. You're looking at all the negative. You know, you have a job, you're living, you're waking up, you have kids, you have a wife. You know, you're so result oriented, you're forgetting about the appreciating the smallest things. And then he's like, if you're looking for peace in others, you can't. You can't look for peace in others unless you look for peace in yourself. And when he said that, it tore me up. I cried, and I said, thank you. And then something just snaps. That's it. So now, I look at life as, okay, you know, I can still be result-oriented, but I have to be a hell of a lot more appreciative to everything around me. I mean, because life can be taken away from you from tomorrow. So when I'm on a Man Up show, this brings me joy. Be talking to your brothers brings me joy. Being around positive people brings me joy. Even with negative people, it comes to comedy to me. I feel you when you're negative. I understand your anger, but there's another side of the coin. I said that because you said that, and I was like, there's another side of the coin. You know, you can be mad, but you know what? It takes more energy to stay mad, my man, than you to stay happy. So, you know, it's two sides of the coin. I get you. The sun will come out tomorrow. I know it sounds cliche, but it is what it is. It's going to happen. And, you know, I'm now understanding, you know, I can still be result-oriented, but I had to become a hell of a lot appreciative for the things I have. I'm talking the smaller things. And that's what made me understand certain things. You know, the man show means a lot to me. It does. A lot of ways I learn a lot. And I've come to find out a couple other things that people have told me. So, you know, the other talk shows helped them out therapeutically. And I'm like, I never realized that, you know, it helps people's lives. It helps people's lives. And you know, we maintain a certain standard on this show. And, you know, we always talk every week, you know, damn, you never know who's listening. But I always get either someone to run into us, or you'll get some, Eddie, or I'll get some, or Tom will get something, or Dad will get something. You know, yeah, I checked y'all out. I'm like, damn, bro, I didn't know you was listening. and they'll tell us what we said and what they got from it.
Exactly.
You know, that's amazing. What's amazing, what the power that we have, and just to be appreciative, God's put these men together with insight and just, you know, fortitude to do what we do on, you know, in a comfortable fashion. Not scripted. None of this shit is scripted. Damn sure not, you know, we'll have a bad week and the other brother say something to perk someone up or say something dumb as hell to make me laugh, you know. But it's something that I think us men, black men, don't always do. We have to be appreciative of brotherhood.
And that's why, you know, a lot of people, you know, when this first began for us, people like, dang, Eddie be snapping. But that's exactly the reason why. Like, you come up on this show and you say something stupid or that I feel could ruin somebody's life. If I don't say anything, to me, that makes me feel like I agree with it. And I don't know if you've taken my response as what you should do with the information. So I'm going to check you online so that these people can think about what the hell you just said that was dumb as hell. Because I can't – I don't play with this platform, man. You're talking about people's lives, yo. So if I let you come up here and say something ignorant that I think is detrimental to the listener, I just like you talking to my kids. You're not going to just say stupid stuff and you think that I'm okay with you – with you walking away and my kids probably being more dumber because they listen to your ass. It ain't happening. I'm saying something, man. And I get it, man. And it's interesting what you said about, you know, people being appreciative of what they got. Oftentimes it's hard for people to do that because very rarely do people live in the right now. And what I mean by that is most people are either thinking about tomorrow, worried about bills or whatever, or they stressing about their past. And nobody's living in the right now, which prevents them from being grateful or appreciative of their current situation. And it's really, really difficult, man, because there's so many people that are not in the present moment. Like I said, they're thinking about their past, they're stressing about their past, something that they did, somebody might find out about, or they're worried about a bill that they can't pay in a few days from now, as opposed to just being grateful about your current situation right now, which in turn could free you from stressing, which is preventing you from thinking of possible solutions to take care of your future. But if you can make it today, today becomes yesterday, and you made it. And eventually you'll look up and see that, damn, I was stressing over nothing. Instead of appreciation, having appreciation of the actual day. And I remember it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, man, that I said, you know what, I'll never miss out on another vacation again. And what I meant by that is I had lost my job, man. And at that time, a job meant so much to me because I didn't, though I said I believed in God, I didn't believe in God as a provider. I felt like I had to get a job. I don't have a job. It's been a month. I don't have. I got a family. I don't know how to how I'm gonna pay my bills.